evening, everybody. I don't know if you'd agree with me, but reading that passage of Scripture is not easy, is it? And so I thought that I would just put it on the screen and split it into pieces so that we can follow it slowly together. So verse 3, this is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family, and when I was 16, I became a Christian. We didn't have a Bible. We never had a Bible in our house, so I went off to buy one. 1 shilling and 6 pence in the second-hand shop in Kirgat Market, and I got my own Bible. And then every Wednesday afternoon, when it was my half day off at work, I would go out to Ilkley Moor. You've heard of Ilkley Moor about that, haven't you? And at the other side, there was a lovely field with a haystack. And every Wednesday, I would sit on this haystack and read. And my first reading was Romans. I decided to read it and memorize it. I memorized some of it, but not all of it. But later on, I got on to Ephesians. And I remember reading this verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, I didn't know the Bible, wasn't used to the Bible, I didn't know that kind of religious language, but it seemed a very, very strange verse to me as a newcomer coming in to the church and studying the Bible. Does it seem strange to you, that verse? When you say blessed be, it's what you call a subjunctive mood, isn't it? We're actually saying a little prayer. I'm praying, this is what Paul says, I'm praying that God might be blessed. I'm praying that God might be blessed. And the word blessing in the Greek language, it really means joy, happiness, satisfaction. So here's Paul, a man, wanting to add to God the infinite, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God who has all the universe belonging to him. Paul is wanting to add something else to God. Paul is wanting to bless God. He's wanting God to have joy and happiness and satisfaction. That's quite a big thing for a man, and we follow in the steps of Paul, and that's my prayer. I pray that God might be blessed. But how is it possible? It tells us in Hebrews that it's the greater who blesses the lesser. Not the lesser who blesses the greater. Who is greater here? Well, God is the ultimate almighty. How can a lesser man like Paul bless the almighty God? And then something else struck me as being rather strange in this verse. I don't know if you noticed it when you read. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and Father. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does it say the God and Father? I'd have just said blessed be God and leave it at that. But why blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, when Jesus was in this world, he came to be a man as an example to us. He was the Saviour, but he was also an example. And Jesus, the man in this world, if you want to be a true man, you need two things. You need a God and a Father. And Jesus had God. He worshipped God. And he trusted his Father. In fact, everything he did on the instructions of his Father. And so if we want to bless God, we have a perfect example here. How can we bless God? Well, in the same way that this man, this perfect man, blessed God. You remember one day when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was baptizing sinners. And many people could have misunderstood it and thought, well, John is baptizing a sinner here. Jesus is repenting. repenting of his sins. But God couldn't have that. No, this is my son. He's a man, but he's my son. And so God did two things to show that he was not baptizing a sinner. What did he do? He tore aside the curtain of heaven and first of all sent the Holy Spirit in the shape of a dove, in the form of a dove. And John the Baptist said, when I was told that whoever you see the Spirit come and remain on him and not go away, that is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So that was one sign that this man was not a sinner. But the second sign was when God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Perfect satisfaction. See, Jesus gave to the infinite God, the Almighty God, Jesus gave joy and happiness and satisfaction. And so if you want to live a life that gives joy to God, happiness to God, satisfaction, what should you do? Look at this man, Jesus, and follow him. Live the same kind of life that he lived. If we live as Jesus lived, following in his footsteps, having been saved by him, we will give joy and happiness and satisfaction to God. That's a wonderful legacy, isn't it? To know that I blessed God. I gave happiness to God during those few years that I walked on this earth. So blessed be God. Now let's look at the next. These are the next verses. Just as he chose him before the foundation of the world, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, by which he made us accepted in the love, in the beloved. We want to bless God because he first blessed us. We are blessed. Did you realize that? We have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing. But Paul says, I can't deal with them all. I'm going to pick out four. So Paul picks out four blessings that God has blessed us, that makes us want to bless God. What are those four blessings? Well, number one, the first blessing is that he chose us. In him, he chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world. Now just think of that. Before the first star shone in the sky. How long ago was that? How long has this universe existed? Before there was a single thing in the universe, God had done something. He chose me. He chose you in Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing. Chosen to be. He predestined. He chose me, having predestinated me. Having predestined me to be a son. Adopted as a son. To the praise of his glory, that I might be before him in love, holy and without blame. What a wonderful thing. I have been chosen by God, predestined by God, to be holy, without blame, and to be his own son. You know, living in Africa, very strange for our two boys. They lived all their lives right up to going to university in Africa. They never had any money. No spending money. What's his name?
Jude.
How would you like to? No spending money. No telephones. No radio. No TV.
I wouldn't like that.
I don't think you would. My two boys were 20 years of age before they came to England, and they found life extremely difficult. They'd never had a credit card. They didn't know what it was. They didn't even know what buses were. Well, I mean, they found out because of being to South Africa. But they weren't used, they never travelled on buses. And my son Peter went to Birmingham University. And he rang me one day and said, "Dad, I'm getting in awful problems. I get on the buses and I never get on the right bus. I don't know where it's going." So I said, "Well, Peter, there's a simple answer to that problem. Before you get on the bus, go to the front and look up there, and it tells you something. It tells you its destination that was chosen before the bus even left the depot. It's called a predestination. The destination was chosen. Not only the destination, but all the stops in between, which you can see in the timetable if you get one. So if you look up there, you'll see the destination, and that's where you're going. Find out where you want to go, and find a bus that goes to that destination." That's what you call predestination. Do you realise that? You're given a destination before you start. And so before the world was created, before the universe came into existence, God chose me and gave me a destination. What was the destination that God gave me? That this man Barry Haig, when he comes into this world, my plan, my purpose, my destination for him is that gradually he will come to the point where he is like my son, Jesus Christ. He says, "I've been adopted into the family of God." Adopted into sonship, that's what it says in Greek. And when you look at sonship, if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28, we don't look now because we haven't got the time. But it includes ladies as well. This sonship is not a masculine sin thing. It's masculine and feminine. It's for all of us, men and women, if we belong to Jesus. It means authority. It means power. It means privilege. It means wealth. That was God's destination. For me and for you. Before the world began. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We have been chosen by God before the world began. Do you thank God for your blessings? Thank him for that, chosen by God. Let's see the next verse. That's number one, chosen. Number one, we've been chosen. Number two, in him we have what? Redemption. We've been redeemed. In him we have redemption. Through his blood. It wasn't a cheap redemption. The forgiveness of our sins. According to the riches of his grace. Which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. When I was a child, we didn't come from a very wealthy family. In fact, we came from a very poor family. But I had an auntie. My dad was away at the war, and there were 15 children, and she was one of them. But so she wasn't a lot older than me, but she was my auntie, and we spent a lot of time together. And she got married. Strange thing, she married a man, an Irish man, who had an identical twin. Then they found out later that the two twins had changed places, and she had married the other twin, who was a Roman Catholic priest. So it caused an awful lot of problems, but then he died of a brain tumour, and life was very difficult for her. But I can't tell you how many times we went to the pawn shop. She would hold my hand, and we'd go across to the pawn shop. And I always remember, said, "I've come to pawn my wedding ring." And then after a while, we'd go back. "I've come to redeem my wedding ring." That means to buy back. First of all, I came to sell it. Now I've come to buy it back again. So redeeming means to buy back something that was sold in the first place. So it says that in him we have redemption. We've been redeemed, bought back from sin, from hell, from darkness, from the devil, from being lost, from being on the wrong way that goes down to hell. We have been bought back. Not just by money, by what? By the precious blood of Christ. He shed his blood. That was the price that was paid that we might be bought back from the power of Satan. I had some funny friends in Zambia. I had one man, he was a witch doctor called Sakanye. And I used to treat him. He had a very painful leg, and I used to treat him because I gave out medicine. And he came to me one day and said, "Barry, I really like you. I want to help you." I said, "Okay." I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I'd like a piece of your skin, and I'd like a hair, and a bit of blood, and a fingernail, and a few other things." And I said, "What are you going to do then?" He says, "Then I will get a horn, and it's from a duiker, and I will put these things in the oil, mixed with all kinds of other things, magic medicines, put wax on the top, and then I'll take it down to the river and plant it at the side of the river." And I said, "Then what?" And he said, "I'll take food down to it, chickens, every day, and I'll feed it." And I said, "Then what?" And he said, "One day you wake up in the night, you'll hear swallow, 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 swallow." That's an idiophone that he would use. And I said, "What happens then?" He said, "You will see a snake coming. But when you look at it, it's got your face." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's called an ilomba." And I said, "What happens then?" He says, "Well, you just tell the ilomba whatever you want it to do. It can go off anywhere in the world and swallow the life of any of your enemies, young or old. And then the energy of that enemy of yours will come to you, be added to your life, and you'll live healthy and strong for many years." I said, "My dear friend, thank you very, very much. But I don't need it." He said, "Why?" I said, "I've already hidden my life in Christ. It's absolutely safe, and I will live as long as he wants me to live on this earth, and then I'll live forever in the next one." And I said, "Look, you need to do that as well. Jesus died to redeem you." He said, "I can't do it." I said, "What? Why not?" He said, "Because I've done that for myself. I have this kind of a snake." But every Lunda, many people have done it. They believe if you do this, you can never kill that snake. Or you can never get rid of it. Because if you kill that snake, immediately kill that snake, you will kill yourself. And you will die. You're a slave now forever. Even though you might turn your back on it, you don't want it. You're a slave now forever. And second, you said to me many times, "I cannot become a Christian because I've done this thing. I can never be forgiven." I remember a lady coming to me and said, "Look, I can never have peace." She was a Christian. She said, "But I have no peace whatsoever." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, before I became a Christian, I got a magic needle which I planted under my skin, and it's there in my body now." So I read her the scriptures. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Do you believe God lies? No, I believe God tells the truth. I'm a Christian. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can forgive all sin? "Yes, but, I said, "There's no buts." She came to me about 10 times. And eventually it went in. We were kneeling down, she jumped up, she said, "I've got it! God doesn't lie, Jesus shed his blood, and I'm clean! All my sin has been forgiven." And all the joy in her heart. Unfortunately, Sakanye, my witch doctor, never got it. Right to his death. And he died an untimely death just a few years after that. He'd put his life in this snake, and it did nothing for him. Look at this wonderful thing. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What kind of sins do you think it means? What kind of sins? Theft? Do you think God can forgive theft? What about lying? Cheating? Adultery? Dodging your taxes? A young man came to me and said, "Oh, God will never forgive me. I've spent so many hours watching pornography." What about a child molester? What about a murderer? Well, you know, the greatest missionary that ever lived, I believe, was a murderer. An accomplice of murderers. And his name was Paul. And he's the one that's writing this. So he's speaking from personal experience. A murderer to become an apostle of Jesus Christ. Blessing number one, we have been chosen. Blessing number two, we have been redeemed, bought back by the precious blood of Christ. Number three, can we have the next few verses? Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that when all everything's complete that God has planned, at the end he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. He's taken us into his trust. He's shown us the mystery of his will. You know, a Bible mystery, it talks about mystery. Paul talks a lot about mysteries. What are these mysteries that Paul talks about? The Gnostics talked a lot about mysteries. In the Gnostic gospel, at the beginning of the church, there were people who believed the mysteries were only for the few enlightened people. But what is it? What is a Bible mystery? Well, it's those things that were hidden in the Old Testament, but now have been revealed to the people of God. It was something hidden, but now it's revealed. And God's mystery has been revealed to you and to me if we walk with him. If we want to know it, that is. You have to open your eyes to things, see things, and open your ears. But if we want to know God's mystery, he's revealed it to us. What is the mystery of God that has been hidden from the foundation of the world? It's this, that he might gather into one. That he might gather together into one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. God wants one people. He's bringing everything into one. Jew and Gentile. Rich and poor. Educated and uneducated. Angels and humanity, heaven and earth, is going to bring the whole thing into one in unity in Christ. And it says in Isaiah chapter 14 that when this takes place, the whole earth will be at rest and break into singing. Wouldn't you like to see that day when the whole earth is at rest and breaks forth into singing? Have you ever seen the world in such chaos? Can you ever remember the world in such chaos? I remember the war years, clearly. I remember those war years. But you know, even though those war years were absolutely terrible, I don't remember the chaos. I was only a little boy then, but the chaos today, every single area of life seemed to be utterly shaking. Uncertain, in chaos. But don't you think it's an indication? I do. I feel it's an indication of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It can't go on like this. When we see the floods, when we see the resources of earth being all disappearing, oh, I long to see the dawn of a new day. When Jesus brings unity of everything. When he takes control of this earth, when he comes back, and there's unity for the earth and the people of God. What a wonderful day. My time's going, I'll have to speed on a bit. If that's true, we need to be ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? So he has made known to us something that nobody else knows. We know the end. We know how it's going to end. And that should give us peace and joy. Don't worry about your heating. Don't worry about your gas and electricity. We do, don't we? But he's got it all under control. He knows it all. And number four, next one, please. I'll have to be very quick on this one. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him whom also, having believed, you were sealed. You know what a seal is? You put the wax and put your stamp on. When you put your stamp in that seal, it belongs to you. The stamp of the king, the stamp of the government. It's a sign of possession, ownership. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's the church and everything that Christ has purchased. The whole universe is purchased, it all. I'm purchased, the church is purchased, this world is purchased, the universe is purchased. When Jesus died, he didn't just die to get me to heaven. His plan was much bigger than that. Yeah, he died for me. Thank God. I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Somebody said to me once, "You're absolutely full of pride. I've never heard such pride. You know you're going to heaven. Do you think you're perfect?" Yes, I do. I'm perfect in Jesus. God sees me in Jesus. But he didn't just die for me. He died for the whole world. But he died for the trees. He died for the rivers. He died for the lakes. He died for the streams and for the mountains. When you see everything just falling apart, everything being corrupted. He died for the atmosphere. He died for all those rings around the atmosphere that protect the earth. He died for the stars. He died for the galaxy. He died for the galaxies. He died for the universe. He's going to bring the whole thing into unity in himself. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're absolutely secure until this day when he takes possession of those things that he has bought. Now that's something worth telling the world about, isn't it? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I love to go out there and tell people. It's a logic story. It's got basis and fact behind it. It's not a myth that we're believing. Jesus really was a man. He really did live. He really did die. He really did rise again from the dead. And he's coming back again. Are you ready for him? Let's just look at this last slide where I've just... Sorry for the speed of this, but... four blessings. Thank God for your four blessings. We are chosen. We are redeemed. We are informed. And we are sealed. But that's only four out of an innumerable amount of blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God you're a Christian. And if you're not, the Lord help you to be a Christian. Let's pray. Or do I'll hand over to you now.